Hey listeners, this is Celine. I am just popping in before this week's episode to let you know that we did have to end up splitting our smiley face killers into two parts. So this week is going to be part one, and then next week is going to be part two. So apologies, I've been sick, so my voice is going a little bit. So I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Okie dokie.
For just a second, I forgot how to get in the call.
Ah, that would make more sense. That's why Craig hopped on first.
Yeah, I was very
confused by that.
I was like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah. I'm going to apologize in advance if my audio is not good.
Yeah?
The cat ate our microphone cord.
No.
So I had to find the other one because thankfully Gabriel and I have the same microphone. So we do have a second one. I just grabbed the wrong one.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he did it like sitting on the table in front of us, too. I was like,
yeah, that sounds like a cat.
We're like sitting just watching TV together, relaxing. And then Gabriel's like, oh my God, he's chewing on the cord. And I was like, no! Probably been doing it for like 20 minutes and we didn't even notice.
Oh no.
Yeah.
What a little shit. Well, hello everybody. And thank you for being here. This is Peculiar Pairings.
Hello.
Welcome. My name is Matt.
I am Celine. Welcome to our show.
Yes, thank you for being here. This is our little show where Celine reads us a story, and sometimes it'd be sad or scary, or just historical, you know, just entertaining stuff. And we have a little treat, and we might laugh, we might cry, but we're going to have a good time. And so, this is Peculiar Pairings. Thank you for being here. I almost missed saying the title of the show, but I got there. I did it.
I mean, I would hope that if they have clicked on the episode that they are aware of what podcast this is, but you know, you never know.
You never know. If you're familiar with this show, like you probably know what's going on. Shout out to my buddy Danny Short real quick. I thought I was going to forget, but he texted me, I think it was last week, and he was like, hey man, I just wanted to say I really like your podcast. And I'm like, really? And he's like, no, that's it's just nice. I like the kind of conversational nature of it. And I'm like, thanks a lot, man. It's awesome.
Aw. Yeah. I appreciate
so thanks, Danny.
That.
Yeah, it was very sweet. It was just kind of out of the blue. It's very nice.
I will say I do have a lot of people say that we have great chemistry. And then they're like, how did you guys meet? And I'm like, well, one day I was born. The end. We were born into the same family.
Just the credits roll. It's like, well, or it's one of those like 80s coming of age movies where like it's the birthing scene at the beginning of the film, and then it's your like adult self doing the voiceover, and you're like, yup, that's me. You're probably wondering how I got here. And then just credits. So it's like I was
probably wondering how I got here.
Yeah, that's the story.
And then I'm like, yes, we're cousins. And they're like, oh, that makes more sense.
Which like, we also have talked about. So it's really just that you guys aren't listening. Yeah.
I would say it's something we've talked about, but I don't think we talk about it like super frequently.
That's true. Yeah.
So that's probably why they just missed the episode where we talk about it. And then usually once I explain that, they're like, that makes more sense. I'm like, which episode are you listening to? Because now I'm just kind of confused.
And then it's just a completely different podcast. They're like, yeah, I was listening to Good Morning. Good Miracle Morning. I don't know, whatever those fucking guys are. They're a YouTube. Never mind. Good Mythical Morning.
I was thinking Mythical Kitchen. I was like, wait, that's not...
similar kind of vibe, yeah.
Even the same show.
Oh my God, they're completely unrelated, aren't they? But they both have Mythical.
I think so.
And I was just saying, now I have to look that up because they're completely different. Mythical Kitchen. Huh. I'm sure they've done collabs before.
I'm pretty sure they have.
It shows Link and Rhett, right? Well, maybe. Oh shit! Maybe it is like related to them.
I think it's like a different show.
It's definitely it's definitely a different show. But I just assumed Mythical Kitchen was its own thing completely by itself. Well, yeah. Anyways, listeners, you can look that up on your own time. Celine,
I appreciate that he likes our show. That makes me happy.
Yeah, it was very sweet. So yeah, thanks, Danny. Hope you keep listening because it's nice of you.
And I'm gonna bring it down.
Yeah,
like I do every week.
You know, not every time, but I mean, yeah, usually.
True, it's... not every time.
But Celine, what is our topic this week?
We are talking about the smiley face killers / smiley face murder theory.
And technically a sort of part B or like continuation from last week. Yes, a
continuation from last week.
And this I felt weird even suggesting this as a pairing because it's not even really a pairing. It's just fast food. But I was like, I was thinking for like the last couple days, I'm like, what is related? What could be related to this? And so, anyways, tonight we are simply enjoying whatever your favorite combo is or treats that you like to get just as a special treat or whatever. But tonight we're just having some McDonald's. And my suggestion was the McDonald's Coke because it is specific to them. And it goes really well with their food.
Yes. I will say that in true McDonald's fashion, I was like, you know what? I'm going to have a little sweet treat, get a little ice cream, and the machine was broken. I was like, well, this is a sign I just should not have it, so.
Yeah, which is honestly almost like a sort of, not old wives' tale. What is it when it's like the sort of... Damn it. Like the guy with the hook hand and it's on the door with the Lover's Lane. It's a
like urban legend.
Thank you. Yeah. It's almost like an urban legend at this point that like there's some mystery conspiracy behind why the machines are always broken. Like people have made websites showing which McDonald's have working machines. And yeah. It's a thing.
I am pretty sure it is just because someone doesn't want to make it.
Could be.
I'm very certain it's just that worker cannot be bothered.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I do respect that because, like, I feel like if I had a hard day and I was working at McDonald's and people are just being shitty, I'd tell them it was broken too.
I feel like there's a part of that in every job at some level where it's like, you know what? I'm a really good therapist, but I just don't want to take notes today. So I'm just going to put a recorder down on the table and I'm just going to freeball it because I don't want to fucking write shit down the whole time. And then I'll listen to it later. And then they don't listen to it later, but like they have it. So they can always tell themselves like, I can listen to it again.
People are just being jerks and they're like, you know what? None for anybody. Screw you guys.
Yeah, they come in with like their 8 kids. They're all being horrible, and the mom's like being an asshole. And he's like, "You know what? It's not working right now." And what he's saying is, "Go fuck yourself." Yeah. And then the next person comes up, and they get a swirl cone, and she's just irate. Yeah, that.
So you have to wait till they leave, give everyone the same story.
Yeah,
and I bet that's how it's just spiraled to. It's always down. They just always have. People come
in. I don't know what to tell you, man. We got to get that thing replaced because it's always broken. It's never like working.
Broken all the time.
Yeah. I'm angry for you because because I want to give you those cones. I really do.
Want it so badly.
Oh, man. Yeah. Ooh. No, I definitely want to give all of them swirl cones, but yeah, it's broken. Yep. That reminds me of working at a gas station with a car wash. I think I brought it up before, but like, whenever something would happen, like cars are designed nowadays to have wipers that easily disconnect so that they don't get broken. Mm-hmm. But every time that happens,
we have to shut down the wash, go into the pit of the thing and get their wiper and put it back on the vehicle. And it always reattached, but they always were just irate about it. And the one time that actually felt kind of sweet in a weird way, just because you never really see this happening, a guy came out of the wash and he was losing his fucking mind because it took his rear wiper off. And I'm trying to calm him down. I'm trying to kind of like interrupt him and be like, sir, I'll just go get, no, I could just, I'll go get it right now. And he was just, I think he yelled at me for 10 minutes straight. It was unreal. And his kid, yeah, he had like a 12-year-old kid with him and his kid was just staring at him like, dad, I think he even like tapped on him a couple times. Like, dad, you got to stop. Yeah. And I was losing my cool, but I finally just like left, went and got it and gave it to him. And I'm like, if it doesn't reattach, please let me know and we can fill out a, like a damage thing. And so that put me in a bad mood for the rest of the day, but we're getting ready to close. And I think it was like 9:30 at night and the guy came back and he apologized to me very earnestly, like with misty eyes and stuff. And I was like, damn, dude, I'm like, nobody does that. I'm like, I really appreciate it. It was like, fuck. And like, he even knew that he was out of line. And I was like, I don't think I've ever, in any job I've ever had, I don't
other
think
I've direction. Ever had anyone.
Oh no. Where's he going?
He has my food.
Tea? Oh, yay.
Also, they did apparently have Sundays.
What?
They still gave us a Sunday, even though Aww. There was a thing saying they don't have ice cream.
You're just talking about the machine being broken.
Yeah, no, they were bullshitting us.
That was the universe saying, fuck you, Celine.
I was just about to ask if this is a straw, but this is a strawless lid, and I love it. Thank you. I love you, too. Man.
That's sweet.
That was great.
I do. It's like, well, we have to edit all of that out about the ice cream machine. Like we're not gonna, because it's still true. Just happens to be like,
I don't know which location we ordered from, so yeah.
Fuck it.
They did me a solid.
That was great. We just went on a whole rant about it. He's like, and they did give you a Sunday. Like, oh, huh.
They're like, oh, we don't have it. Just kidding. Just for you.
We know they're gonna talk shit about us on their podcast, so we gotta do it up.
Make sure we do it right. So, yeah, you gotta have these salty fries.
Oh my god. Are they like peak freshness?
Like maybe got here like 5 minutes ago.
So like, oh well, yeah, that's true. It's different when you go on a little run.
Not like when they come straight out of the drive through window and they're piping hot.
Yeah, and they can be too hot, but yeah, you want them to have a little bit of heat in there, and you want the mm-hmm. salt to have a little bit of time to have like adhered and like soaked into the fries a little bit. Yeah. So with all of that, and yet another tangent, I do have to ask, what do you think is the through line or like the connecting theme of this admittedly kind of lazy pairing?
So, as far as the pairing overall,
mm-hmm.
my mind immediately went to the smile and Happy Meals for the smiley face killer. Because, you know, like it's the, like, my dad always talks about, like, oh, like the Happy McDonald's arches.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And then, so, yeah, like, the arches above the smile makes it look like a face.
Yeah, that's kind of where my brain went with the pairing. And as far as the Coke specifically, I got diet because I've been doing diet soda. Specifically, gosh, I know that they have a very specific recipe and like ratio that they use when making their Coke, and that's been like a whole thing about like oh, like it's very specific to McDonald's and this and that. And I had a connection and now the thought has just wandered.
Well, off.
You're going to be so upset.
Am I?
I
don't have anything as far as like why the Coke specifically.
No. So but that was why I was calling it so lazy, because there was no special thing of the Coke itself. It was just like McDonald's. Like that's all that was in my mind, just because they are. And then the Happy Meal is a great thing to point out. I didn't even think about that. Just that a lot of their marketing and a lot of their history has been synonymous with like smiling service, and like, because they used to, I don't think they do anymore, but they used to have an item on their menu that was like smiles are free. And so like you could, and that was supposed to be like their whole idea behind customer service was service with a smile, and you're supposed to always be getting like top tier smiling service. And so I even like looked up other like treats and drinks that were associated with smiles, and just nothing really jumped out at me. And I'm like, McDonald's seems so lame, but they are tied to smiles. And I have to admit, I didn't even think about the Happy Meal, but yeah, they're also admit that I think I was almost 30 before I realized, like, I remember the smile on the box, but I don't think I ever realized that the golden arches being above the smile makes an actual face. I just looked at the smile and I'm like, it's a Happy Meal. Cause that's, but in terms, if we're going to make up a connection for the Coke, I think I would be willing to say that as it's tied to what is potentially a serial killer or a group of serial killers, they have at least one specific thing that ties them to a like modus operandi that is specific to them, at least in terms of the smiley face logo itself. So one could say that the drink is connected because they have their own unique brand of Coke. So there you go. We got there in the end. We got there.
I would say that's a pretty good one.
I could have just ran with that and not said anything about, oh, but I, since you're taking a sip, I'm curious, is the diet, I don't think I've ever gotten a Diet Coke from McDonald's. Is it kind of the same? Like, is it different from a can versus like the McDonald's Diet Coke?
Honestly, I don't know.
Interesting.
It, to me, it tastes like a Diet Coke.
Okay. Fair enough. I do have to admit, I didn't want to admit that the Coke tastes different at McDonald's, but I did actually do some research about it, and apparently that is on purpose, and it has something to do with the machines and, like you said, like the ratio of their like syrup to like soda water, whatever it is, carbonation. They do have their own Coke, and it is very good
on purpose.
Yeah, I never thought about it as a kid, but yeah, it's true, and it's delicious.
So with that, I'm going to dive right in. And you'll see why I'm so angry. My sources are Positively Pittsburgh, a few articles from Wikipedia, and GD Investigations.
Goddamn Investigations. Nice.
Yeah.
And I do like how like all of our episodes can be totally different, because we have some, I think last week we barely recorded for an hour, or the last time we recorded was barely an hour, because it was supposed to be a shorter episode. We're just starting the actual story, and we've already been recording for an hour and a quarter.
Because we like to shoot the shit, that's why.
That's true, we do. Well, and yeah, we had a week in between, there's a lot of shit to shoot.
So this is not to be confused with Keith Hunter Jesperson, who is the smiley, who used the smiley face on his letters to police and prosecutors. He is a serial killer.
Oh, okay.
Or Robert Lee Yates, who is a serial killer who used like the, he used like the Walmart plastic bags to cover the heads of his victims. They have the smiley face on them. I don't know if you remember when Walmart.
I was just going to say, I wonder if that's why they stopped using them, because I think now they're just sort of a bland, like just blue Walmart. But yeah, I forgot they used to. Okay, I can see them wanting to move away from that marketing scheme.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And I am going to say that as just a general disclaimer, that while we know that not all people in law enforcement and detectives are bad at their jobs, this in particular makes me very angry, mostly because I feel like it highlights a lot of very bad police and detective work.
Sure, yeah.
To the point where, like, it is glaring.
Well, and it does seem to be kind of a commonality, especially when you're talking about like true crime shows and serial killers in particular. It does seem like a lot of particular police offices or stations, or however you want to say it, have a tendency to not always do their best work when it's like a specific serial killer kind of thing. So I feel like it's the sad thing is we seem to be more surprised when they actually do really good police work in these sorts of stories.
Yeah, it's, and you'll see why I have the feelings that I have.
Good to know. That's fair.
So we're going to start the night off with Patrick McNeil. Ooh. And Patrick is known as the first victim of this potential crime syndicate, serial killer. He was a senior at Fordham College. And he lives in New York, and he was last seen in the Dapper Dog Bar in Manhattan drinking with friends on February 17th, 1997.
Oh, all the way back to the 90s.
Yes, to the 90s.
Oh, Patrick.
And, oh, Patrick.
Oh, Patrick. He's just trying to have a good night there, but sometimes good nights turn into bad nights.
Yes. Unfortunately.
Yeah. What was the name of the bar again? Sorry.
Dapper Dog Bar. The nice. Dapper Dog Bar.
That sounds kind of cute.
And before he left the bar, he was not doing too good. He was in the bathroom, throwing up, like just generally not feeling well.
Sure.
And, you know, he collected himself, headed out, and he was observed by witnesses outside of the bar as being pretty unstable and generally disoriented, kind of more reminiscent of someone who is on a type of narcotic that is meant to debilitate you and meant to impair you.
Gotcha. The kind that would have a label of like, do not operate a motor vehicle while taking this drug. Yeah. Okay.
And do not mix with alcohol. Do not do this. Do not.
And so far, this sounds like another story where it's like his friends just let him walk away. He's just outside the bar by himself. And it's like, guys, make sure that he gets into a taxi or whatever.
Well, and it could be that his friends left. And when they left him, he was fine.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, you don't always know.
I didn't really have much on that exactly, but he was stumbling, falling against parked vehicles, vomiting. Just generally was not well, which I would say the type of like stumbling and just like vomiting anywhere felt very reminiscent to me of like if you've ever had E. coli, which is awful. You're just like generally unwell.
I thought you were going to say, like, it sounds like an average night in college, eh, everybody? I didn't know that that's what happened to you with E. coli. Have you had E. coli?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my God.
It's, like, fairly run-of-the-mill, like, food poisoning, but it'll sneak up on you. And the biggest issue with that is, like, dehydration.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, everything's coming out the wrong way and not getting absorbed into the body.
But because like you're feeling so unwell and like generally weak, like you're not the most stable on your feet. You're a little dehydrated.
The closest to a story like that I have from college is we were playing a bunch of Smash Bros over one weekend in college at our apartment. And I mean, we could do this sometimes fucking like all night. And we had a buddy who none of us had really noticed because we were doing like there were six or so of us there. So we kept like rotating out of the because you can only play with four people. So we were all kind of rotating out. And every time that one of our buddies would rotate out, we weren't really paying attention, but he would go to the bathroom. And you're like, we're drinking beer and stuff, whatever. And then he would come back, take his turn. You know, we'd play a little bit, and then he would excuse himself again, let someone else play. And he finally, I mean, this went on for hours. And there again, none of us were really paying attention. Yeah, well, he finally didn't come back out for a while. They're like, hey, dude, you all right? And he's like, yeah, just think I need to go to the hospital. We're like, what? Why? And he's like, pretty sure I have food poisoning. And I think one of our buddies jumped in the car. Yeah, because I don't think he called an ambulance. We ran down to the emergency room. And they kept him there for at least an hour. Maybe not even including like waiting room time. And they just pumped a bunch of fluids into him because sure enough, he had food poisoning and he was so dehydrated from just continuously vomiting over several hours. They kept him there for quite a while, just pumping saline into him. So like your body needs to get some hydration back.
Yeah.
And we were like, dude, you didn't have to keep playing. He's like, yeah, I didn't feel very well. We're like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're like, why didn't you say anything? He's like, I wanted to keep playing.
Yeah.
And
I worked when I had it. So I didn't know until as the night progressed. I was like, I don't feel well. I feel like my stomach is stabbing me from the inside.
Oh God.
I'm like, I feel unwell. I'm like, I gotta push. I'm like, I need the money. I gotta push through this shift. I didn't work with food or anything, so I wasn't concerned about that.
Right, right. This was not at Starbucks.
Ringing up people's. No, this was when I was hosting. So I'm like, I'm just ringing up people, and like on a POS system, I'm not doing. We had an event that day, so I was not doing anything else but using the computer system. Although ringing people up.
I'm sure that everybody was super excited when they walked in and you were just like sweating and not looking. And you're like, hey, can I take your table? And they're like, are you okay? I'm fine. I'm really happy you're here. Two? This is just table for two.
I am very good at when I am not feeling well, if I have to work, just acting like everything is fine.
Okay. That is a powerful
skill. Very good at doing that.
Okay.
And then I got home and Gabriel was like in bed, like, oh, poor thing. He was not good.
He was also sick?
Definitely. Oh, yeah, we both ate the same thing, so
got it. Oh God, right, okay. Fuck.
And he ate more of it than I did, so his was way worse.
Oh.
But yeah, it was not good.
As far as I know, I have only ever had food poisoning once. Well, and I can't even necessarily confirm it was food poisoning. I'm not a stranger to the idea of like buying more Chinese food than I actually need for one meal. And then I'll eat it over the course of like a weekend or so and never had a problem ever. And this one time, and I mean, I always put everything back in the fridge, you know, I don't do the thing where it like freeze it and then like thaw it out and freeze it again and thaw. And I had a really bad day Friday night. So I got like $40 worth of Chinese food, played video games and stuff. Great day. Had some the next day on Saturday and I hadn't finished it. But then when I woke up on Sunday, I still had some left and I ate the rest of it. And within I don't know if it was from Saturday or not, but within an hour, hour and a half, I was sweating and I could like barely move and my stomach was killing me. And I'm the kind of person where I absolutely hate throwing up. It's like for me of anything that an affliction can impose upon you. I will take whatever kind of pain I can to avoid throwing up. But this particular case, I'm like, I have to go throw up. Like, whatever is inside me is fighting to get out. And I'm like, I need to just expel whatever this is from my body. And yeah, it's one of the only times where I didn't feel like I needed to throw up, but I went to the bathroom and I'm like trying to will myself to just get whatever this is out of me. And I, without going into a lot of detail, threw up a lot. And it's one of the only times too where I instantly felt 20 times better. I didn't feel 100% and it kind of lingered throughout the day. But I mean, I felt so much better. And within like an hour, the sweating stopped, you know, my stomach still felt angry, but not anywhere near like what it was. And I texted everybody. I'm like, I think I just experienced food poisoning. But from what I've heard from other people, it's longer lingering and more intense than that. Okay, you're nodding your head. So what was your experience?
So I've actually had it twice.
Oh,
once with Gabriel, once when I was in college, and actually worked both times, funny enough.
No.
The first time I could not get anyone to cover my shift at work. So like I had to come in. One of my coworkers was like, yeah, I can cover your shift, but I can't be there for the first hour. And I was like, okay, like I could come in for an hour. She did not show up for four. So I'm like sitting there sweating, suffering. I like kept closing because I worked at an olive oil store and I was there by myself. And I had to keep closing because I was like, I got to throw up. I got to go. So I kept having to close the store to do that. And then like the person who worked the morning shift when I came to take over, she's like, I'm so sorry I can't cover for you. You look awful. And I was like, I know.
I'm like
sitting on the chair leaning against the wall. And I'm like, I literally cannot, like, I can't clean anything. I can't. I'm like, I can't.
You're like, I'm literally here to just physically be a body that can keep the store open. That's it. Like,
I was like, I am like literally just doing my best. And if I was going to get in trouble for it, I was like, you know what? Oh, well.
Well, yeah. Like, do you know what I fucking went through to keep your store open?
Yeah.
Like, fuck. And I still got someone to cover me and they fucked both of us over.
Yeah.
4 hours. That is not cool.
Yeah. Then when I finally got to go home and leave, I got into the parking structure. And there is this random guy and a police officer standing at my car. And I was like, what happened?
Oh, God. No.
And then I get over there. And they're like, the guy's like apologizing to me. He's like, oh, my God. Like, I can't believe I did this to your car. No, and this and that. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, there's a giant, like, this dent in the bumper. And I'm like, oh, that's been there for years. which was true, like I had this dent in my bumper from Corey, actually. Yeah. So this guy thought he did that to my car, and he's like, the police station was like right there too. They like, and there's like a stand so you could like talk to someone too if you wanted to, like right there in the parking structure.
Right. So he's being a nice guy. Like, he's like doing
somebody
right
being like a great guy.
Oh.
And the officer's like, he's like, well, I definitely did like still kind of like hit your car. And I was like, honestly, it looks the same to me as it did before. Like, does your car have any damage that I should be aware of? And he's like, oh no, my car's fine. And I was like, then I guess we're good.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, oh God, not you walk out to the parking garage and you're like, oh no, not like I need to go home. Like,
I want to go home so badly.
Yeah. Send me your information and then we'll talk about it later. I got to go.
Yeah. And I think the funnier thing was that one of my friends knew that I wasn't feeling well, but they thought that meant that I was mentally not feeling well.
Oh yeah.
they like checked on me later and was like trying to make jokes with me and this and that. And I'm like, at one point they're like, are you feeling any better? And I'm like, no. Like, shit, dude. Like,
they think they're cheering you up and you're like, go fuck yourself.
I'm sorry that like you're still sad. And I was like, oh, I'm not sad. I have food poisoning. Like, this whole time I thought you were sad. I was like, no, I'm like, shit, because I'm sick. There's a reason I'm laying on the bathroom floor, not because I'm sad. His heart was in the right place, but
I've almost been broken. Not, I guess you wouldn't say broken up with, but like stopped dating. Someone almost stopped dating me because I think it was like last summer. It was one of those like just 24-hour bugs where same kind of thing where I couldn't regulate my body temperature. I was sweating and then I was shivering. Mm-hmm. And luckily it only lasted a day, but I didn't touch my phone. Like I turned which is very unusual for me. I turned the TV on and like had just random like YouTube videos or something just playing over and over. I don't even know why I had it on because all I was doing was just like curled up in a ball on the bed. And I felt better by the end of the night and I took a shower. And when I got up for work the next morning, I was expecting to call in sick because I'm like, this has got to be like a really fast acting and just like fuck you kind of flu virus. But I woke up and I felt perfectly fine. And I was a little behind schedule. So I got my work stuff on. I got my coffee and I got to the office and I'm starting my morning office stuff. And I look at my phone and I had like 5 messages from this woman and they got fairly quickly progressively more angry and like unhinged because she thought I was ghosting her, you know, which is like fair. Yeah, it sucks. So I finally text her back and I'm like, and I sent her a picture of me. Like, I don't look great. I feel better, but I'm still not like upkept very well. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I was so sick yesterday. I literally never got out of bed. I think I used the bathroom twice. And like, that's just how shitty it was. And she was like, oh, well, then just ignore my messages. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, no, I should have at least texted you. I'm like, I was just that out of it. And she's like, so are we still on for dinner Friday? I'm like, absolutely. I'm like, I should be fine. And she's like, what was it? I'm like, I have no fucking idea. It was the worst. But sometimes it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, with food poisoning, it just like you'll feel better for a little bit,
yeah,
and then it comes back, and you're like, I'm gonna die.
Ugh.
I'm gonna die here.
I don't know if that's what I had, but I've definitely that was easily the worst I'd ever felt in terms of just like a stomach sickness. Mm-hmm. No, honestly. I get the feeling she ultimately ended it with me. Well, it was only like 3 weeks, but whatever. But like, I think she thought I was lying. Like, I think she thought I was like seeing somebody else or something that day or whatnot. Cause there again, I tend to be the person who texts back, especially if it's someone that I'm like dating, where I'll text back like immediately. And so it was odd for me not to text for like over 24 hours. She's like, the fuck? But anyways. That's neither here nor there. So, being sick sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to Patrick, he was just generally unwell.
This is still the first person, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this is what happens when we don't record for like 2 weeks.
I know. He started walking south on 2nd Avenue from 92nd Street. So kind of going down.
Oh my God. Isn't that a long ways? Or 2nd Avenue, I'm sorry, continue. It's a street versus an avenue, street. So I thought he was like walking 90 blocks, but that's a different
thing. Oh, wow, no. No.
Gotcha. Okay.
Someone did notice that a double parked vehicle outside of the bar started following him and that there was a man and a woman inside. And, you know, he starts walking and a short distance, he falls down. You know, not doing well. Yeah. And the vehicle stops and just waits for him to start moving again. And then he does.
Okay, that's creepy. Yeah.
And when he did like start moving, they start moving. So, you know, kind of that pattern of like he stops, they stop, he moves, they move. And he was last seen turning left onto 90th Street. So he goes two blocks and heading towards the East River with the car still following him.
That's crazy.
And Patrick was found 50 days later.
Oh my
So he was missing
God.
For 50 days.
Jesus. That. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and I'm thinking back to the guy we talked about last week where he had been, I think you said he was missing for like weeks, but they determined that like time of death was only 5 days prior to him being discovered. So like, so somebody took him and like did something with him and then he was found, you know, later. So now I'm curious if this is like part of their signature kind of.
50 so days. He was found in the East River on April 7th, 1997. Mm-hmm. He was over 12 miles away from where he was first or like last seen in Manhattan.
Wow. Which to be fair, over 50 days is less surprising, but still that's quite a jaunt.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in an area where like the most traffic is like walking traffic. Like a lot of people don't drive in New York. So 12 miles is a long way to go.
That's quite a ways. And this case was first taken on by Kevin Gannon, who is very much spearheaded the idea of this all being a serial killer or killers.
Sure. Also being sworn enemy of Link from the Legend of Zelda series. He fights Gannon in almost every game. So just...
I did not know that.
Link. Nemesis is Gannon.
Enemy of Link and...
Yeah. It's for a few people in the audience who are gamers. And shout out to Uncle Ronnie. I don't know if he ever finished Zelda, but he definitely had it.
I did not know that he played that.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, when we were, I was probably 4 or 5. And no, I had to be a little older than that. But yeah, me and Zach would go and hang out with Uncle Ronnie, and he had an NES, and he loved the golf game. We had Super Mario Brothers 3, and he had the original Legend of Zelda. And I think Zach and I each tried playing it for maybe 5 minutes, and it was just so different. Like, because you just start the game, and it just starts. Like, it's not like current Zelda games where there's a story and, like, a big production with music and stuff, and then, like, a tutorial thing where it kind of walks you through how to play. You, like, the older games, it just starts. There's no story. The game begins and you have to figure shit out. And that's why they also had things like Nintendo Power Magazine so that you could find out all the secrets. And this is how old I am. They still had the Nintendo Hotline where you could, I think it was like a $1.99 a minute. You could call Nintendo and talk to their experts and they would tell you how to advance in whatever part of a game that you were in.
Wow.
And then the internet started coming around and they're like, well, this isn't profitable anymore. The calls started tapering off a bit, but there used to be a hotline where you could call Uber nerds and get expert advice. You had to, and apparently it was quite a process. You had to prove your knowledge of like so many Nintendo games because you needed to be an expert. Yeah, it was quite a thing. And a lot of people, a lot of people made careers out of that. It's weird. Like I said, that makes me sound exceptionally old because that was from the 80s and into the 90s a bit. For the record, I think Zach and I called it once. We had one game. Yeah, we rented a game and we didn't tell mom because it gets charged to your phone bill, right? And we didn't talk to him very long. But we just wanted to be, we had a game and we needed help.
Kevin. Mr. Gannon made a promise to Patrick's parents that he would find out what happened to their son and that he would try to bring in those responsible for his death. I'm glad that he didn't promise, I will. He just said, I will try.
Yeah. Well, because that's also the kind of thing where you can't guarantee it. And then it's also going to weigh on you, like as a law enforcement person, where, because they're going to be disappointed enough. And then you're going to have these people that you promised to get results and you couldn't.
So yeah.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, he's going to do his best.
So police do believe that he must have been abducted and then driven to the second location, which I would say more than likely he was just dumped there.
Yeah, because they're getting 50 days. It's not like they're bringing him immediately there and then he's just like found. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. That's probably a third, an end location.
And this is where you're going to start to get mad. They had a partial license plate.
Okay.
But the missing person supervisor would not pay for a lawman search, which is a search of all number letter combinations along with the description of the vehicle, which they had from witnesses. Because they didn't want to spend the, and granted, this is not necessarily cheap, but they didn't want to spend the $12,000 for the information to cross-reference.
Oh my.
And to get that done.
Wow.
It's a, sorry, $1,200.
Oh, okay. That it's like 12,000. What do you have? A warehouse of like 100 people manually cross $12,000. Okay, $1,200 is still angering, but much more reasonable than 12. Because honestly, I was like, I mean, $12,000. And I'm assuming this is the paper money. That's fucking a lot. For one person? One license plate? Jesus. I'm like, look, I'm sorry that this happened to your son, but we're not paying $12,000. Although, then you're in the position of, like, your son's life is only worth not even $12,000. Like, we're not willing to spend $12,000. Yeah, $1,200. I would, if as a parent, I would be outraged.
Like, yeah.
What the fuck?
Which... And given the nature of his state, I would be absolutely outraged if they wouldn't spend the money for that. Like, I would try to fundraise to get it done.
Right, for sure. Yeah, and this is well before GoFundMe and that kind of thing. So, yeah, you're walking the streets, knocking on doors, just being like, hey, can I have a dollar? I need 1,200 of them for my son.
There were a few things that were kind of odd about Patrick.
Okay.
And that he was only wearing jeans, underwear, and socks. So
it's... And it's pretty cold.
February, yeah. And he doesn't have shoes, shirt, none of that.
Yeah.
His blood alcohol when they recovered him was a 0.16. Which naturally, with decomposition, it raises your blood alcohol level. 0.1.
Yeah. Not 0.01. It was 0.16.
Mm-hmm.
That's like all your blood. Not quite. I'm sorry. So that's 16%.
They believe that when, at the time of his death, his blood alcohol level was a 0.12. Which is around 6 drinks.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, well, for someone who's 6 foot, like almost 200 pounds, like that's not really that.
Right.
Much. I'm like, well, is this like 6 drinks over a period of time? Is this like.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of, like why we have the blood alcohol test, because 6 drinks for a small petite person is going to be a lot more than for someone who's 6 feet tall and like 200 whatever pounds. So like it doesn't really matter how many drinks he even had if his blood alcohol could be measured at 0.12 or 0.16.
Yeah.
Interesting.
When I read that, I was like, that feels kind of high to me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe he's just generally intoxicated and not like blackout, cannot function drunk.
Yeah. Right. Maybe so again, even our current standard of 0.08 is you're not like fumbling around drunk. I mean, you can be pretty coherent and still hit a 0.08.
Yeah. And I will say that for most of the victims we were talking about today, I don't believe any of them had a toxicology report.
And
they just did the blood alcohol content.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Because any sort of other testing has to be like specially requested or deemed necessary or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But they did find him laying on his back, which is unusual for drowning.
Oh,
and they call it a dead man's float for a reason.
Right.
And that was just like pretty inconsistent. And since he was found on his back, you would also assume that with the lividity of blood in his system. So during a process of decomposition where blood will start to pool in various areas.
Mm.
You would assume it would settle more on your backside because you were laying on your back.
Mm-hmm.
Not the case.
I am glad you explained that, because while I knew what you were talking about, some of our listeners might not have. So that's I appreciate you running through that. That's that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it was on the opposite side of his body from where he was like found laying.
So I did not see where exactly. I could not find if it was like more on the front or just it just was not pooling in his back like it should have.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we necessarily need the specifics, but we know that it's not where it was supposed to be.
He also had ligature marks on his neck.
I'm not laughing at the details. I'm laughing at like how many times you hear a story where like you were just talking about a very specific thing of like, boy, isn't that strange? The blood didn't pool where it was supposed to be. Also, it looked like he was fucking choked to death. Maybe that was the bigger clue.
Which
pretty unusual for a drowning.
They did conclude could have been because he had been tied up and not asphyxiated. Since there were like multiple marks.
Fair enough. But okay.
Also, if he is the first victim, it could be that the killer was not very successful at trying to strangle him.
Yeah, yeah.
And or like, even maybe not, took a few tries.
Yeah. Well, and you said it was a man and a woman following him. Maybe they're into some kinky stuff and things went poorly. Maybe
things went south. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not necessarily like a deliberate murder, but still just laughing at the fact that like, by the way, we found indications that somebody basically hanged him. So, boy, that blood thing's weird, isn't it? Oh, God, it's worse.
Mm-hmm.
He has a knife sticking out of his chest. That's pretty weird, right? For a drowning case?
So, it is believed that he was burned from the waist up. While like, alive.
Oh my God. When you said it got worse, I was thinking just like I mean, this is like a farce comedy thing where they're like, yes, it looks like he might have asphyxiated. Really? How can you tell? Well, there are those ligatures. First of all, the blood isn't where we expected it to be. What else? Well, the ligature marks, it kind of looks like he was choked to death. Really? How can you see that beneath the burnt skin? Like this. Okay.
The skin was not. I'm gonna say it.
Oh, like, it wasn't like.
Sounds like it was, but wasn't burned. And there was like.
Yeah.
A blackening of his skin.
Well.
From the waist up. Which they're like, oh, it's exposure to the elements and decomposition. But.
In February?
A lot of investigative teams don't agree with that.
Sounds
they're reasonable. Like, it is, they can conclude that was before death, and God. His backside is not discolored, because which makes them think that he was tied to, like, a chair or something.
Right. Or if he was laying on the ground. Yeah.
Oh, God. Something to protect the back.
Well, now it makes me wonder how they determined that it, I suppose maybe some like slight healing on the skin or something, or even if they found like his lungs were scorched, meaning he breathed it in. And so like he had to have been alive while he was set on. Oh my God. I recently told someone that my least or my like my way of death that I fear most would be drowning. Like, especially if you're conscious and you just get like pulled to the bottom of a body of water or something. I feel like a very close second would be burning alive. No thanks.
For me, it would be switched. The idea of being burnt alive terrifies me.
That's fair. I guess I can't really speak to which one would instill more fear in me. I can't help feeling like if you're conscious and being burned alive, one, well, it would feel like an eternity, but you would probably die faster. You know, I suppose even if you were conscious at the bottom of a lake, you're not really experiencing pain. You're just panicking. I can see what you mean. Yeah, you're probably in pretty severe pain if you're burning alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. And in a similar way to like being drowned at the bottom of a lake, you're probably gasping for air. But there again, at the bottom of a lake, you're going to just kind of pass out. Whereas if you're on fire, you're going to be breathing in the heat of that. So, okay. I think you're turning me on that. Yeah.
Yeah. They found fly eggs on his body.
Oh, okay. In the burnt area? Hey, I already ate. So I'm fine.
I know. I have like a few bites left.
No, but it's like you're the one describing this kind of stuff while still eating. So you said
it
nope.
It was in his pubic hair.
Well, that's just weird.
He had to have been dead long enough and exposed generally.
Gotcha.
In order for the flies to lay eggs on him.
Only
oddly enough.
Because especially like if his whole or like upper torso area was burnt from the waist up, you'd think they'd be all like. That's weird. I'm not a cadaver expert. I have no idea what that means.
In one of the articles, they had a whole section just talking about the putrefaction of his body. Mm-hmm. And that each section of his body had different states of destruction and decomposition that just like none of it matched up. Like his. So,
like different parts of his body were decomposing at different rates or at different times?
Yeah. Well, like just generally differently. So, like from the waist up, because of being burned, it's gonna not necessarily react the same. And they knew partly why that also happened is like the skin will shrink. So kind of the opposite effect of like if you were laying in a body of water and your skin like bloats and sloughs off, it like tightens. Which is that makes sense, the upper body shrank a bit, which is horrifying.
Which makes sense with the heat. It's dehydrating him and making everything contract. So
yeah.
Weird.
And around the waist, he had this red line, which you get from having like clothing on and having that exposed to heat. So kind of more like a sunburn.
Interesting. But it's like the clothing itself is heating up and it's like burning him or it's
yes, but it's also protecting like his skin at the same time because like that skin's not exposed. So it's burned, but not as badly.
Okay. I think I see what you mean. Yeah.
So they can tell from that like there was some sort of heat source. They maybe can't tell exactly what that heat source is.
Yeah. He's like a Rubik's cube of decomposition.
And his legs showed some like marbling, which I think is just like general decomposition. Stuff starts to get really weird and like bruised looking almost.
I was going to say, I hope that's not related to like marbling a steak as I assuming it is.
No.
That's okay. Good.
That's and, funny. One thing they did note was that he did not have any skin slippage.
Oh. Interesting. Almost as if the fire was put out relatively quickly, maybe by being put in a river, perhaps?
I think more in the fact that he has not been sitting in this body of water for 50 days.
Right.
Because what exactly would have happened if he had drowned, like they said he did?
Yeah.
And he's sitting in water for several days. His body's going to bloat, the skin's, he's going to start having skin slippage, and it's going to get gross.
For sure, yeah. It's gross, so,
in a different way. Like, horrifying.
It's quite the enigma of a death, for sure.
Yeah, so the conclusion is that he had accidental drowning.
Shut up. Shut up. I mean, come on. And now I'm showing my like ADHD here again, but like, this is still the first, this is the same guy we're talking about.
Yes. This is all the first guy.
Yeah. So he disappeared in February. He showed up 50 days later.
Yep.
With different levels of decomposition, one of which being his upper and only front torso, in some places at least, literally burnt to, like, not necessarily a crisp, but blackened.
Yeah.
I mean, that. But no, it was an accidental drowning. I mean, whoop. Okay. The one thing I can actually say is, well, I mean, they would have to be pretty definitively defined as, like, burning. But if he succumbed to hypothermia, it is hypothetically possible that he exhibited what they call paradoxical undressing. So he got so cold. Yeah, you know that. Yeah, he got so cold that it felt like he was on fire. So he removes his upper clothing. Although you'd think he'd remove his pants, too.
Yeah.
I am really trying to give them the benefit of every possible doubt. But you have to know the difference between, like, skin that has blackened from exposure to the cold versus being burnt. Like, you don't have to be a detective to see the difference there. Okay, accidental drowning. That's pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was in the 90s. Maybe part of the river was on fire, so he maybe succumbed to the elements and then flowed down a barbecue. And he was floating on his back, so only his torso got hit because the rest of him had jeans on. Huh?
Yeah. I am in the camp of this looks and sounds like a homicide, so I'm pretty sure it's a homicide.
No shit.
It sounds to me like he was abducted, tied up, tortured, murdered, and then dumped.
Celine, based on what evidence? I mean,
I'm not a detective here. But
I was going to say, I'm acting for the defense. Your Honor, I mean, what evidence? The prosecution is trying to insinuate that these fine people who were seen only in a car following him for, what, three blocks?
Like, block.
Exactly. And then the prosecution says that the multiple different types of decomposition on one body indicates foul play? Your Honor, this should all just be thrown out of court. I rest my case.
Here's the thing that's like really odd.
There's more
about this.
Okay.
So the case generally was left pending further investigation, with the medical examiner saying his cause of death was drowning, with the manner being undetermined. And although he was physically recovered in 1997, the family did not receive a complete package of, like, the autopsy report, photographs, police records, all of that, until December 29th, 2008.
Whoa!
11 years later.
I was going to... I keep trying to jump to their defense of like, well, these things take a long time. They, you said that they kept the investigation.
11 years.
I was going to say 11 years. A lot
to have like no records for anything.
Oh my God. Well, and I mean, it feels like a moot point now, but I was also going to say that, like, technically speaking, the type of death being a drowning isn't necessarily like the coroner making a call on like all that happened to him. He might have just found liquid in his lungs and been like, well, this is definitely what ended up killing him, but I can't explain the rest of it. So I like, just from a technical standpoint, the cause of death isn't necessarily saying this is what happened to him. But the 11 years of not having any kind of documentation sent to the family seems at minimum suspect.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that like the authorities are doing weird stuff, but just like, I mean, it's, it doesn't look good. That's for sure.
Yeah. And then the record became available to the public on February 15th of 2009. So anyone can look that up if they'd like. So that leaves us with Patrick.
Wow. So, okay. So even still more or less undetermined.
Like, yeah.
No real. Okay. Jesus.
And that concludes part one. Please join us next week for part two.
Hello, Like Mother, Like Murder listeners. I am Rachel.
And I'm Heather.
We are the hosts of Like Mother, Like Murder.
We bring you the good, the badass, and the crime.
Each week, we bring you stories from missing and murdered
to survivors and women who empower you.
And of course, some mom talk sprinkled in.
Check us out wherever you get your podcasts at Like Mother, Like Murder.
And give us a follow on social media so that we can say hi.
Okay, love you, bye.
Okay, love you, bye.